1260 AM Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. Today marks 1 month since the Hamas terror attacks in Israel and the start of the Israel-Hamas war. In an interview with ABC's David Muir, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he's open to little pauses to help get hostages out of Gaza and aid in.
President Biden has said that it would be a mistake for Israel to occupy Gaza. Who should govern Gaza when this is over?
I think Israel will, for an indefinite period, will have the overall security responsibility, because we've seen what happens when we don't have it.
U.S. Capitol Police say they've arrested a man with a gun near the U.S. Capitol. Authorities say there is no danger to the public. It's election day across the country, state and local races, setting the stage for next year's election, now 1 year out. In Uvalde, Texas, one candidate for mayor is a mother who lost her 10-year-old daughter in the 2022 mass school shooting. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Milwaukee Brewers are being asked to chip in more to maintain American Family Field for the next 27 years. Wisp Politics reports an amendment to the ballpark bill would increase the Brewers' contribution by $10 million. The ask from taxpayers would go down by $36 million. Senators are adjusting the bill to pass the Assembly to address the concerns of enough lawmakers to get the 17 votes necessary to pass. Meanwhile, plans for the National Football League draft in Green Bay are coming together. The league says it will happen on April 24th through the 26th in 2025. Fox Valley leaders are counting on as many as 250,000 football fans to come to Northeast Wisconsin for the draft. Most of the events will happen in and around Lambeau Field. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Assembly is scheduled to vote on a bill to ban the universities of Wisconsin from considering race and diversity when awarding state-funded financial aid. The bill comes months after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that universities can't consider race as part of the admissions process. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is expected to veto the measure when it reaches his desk, as well as another bill that would withhold state grants from schools that repeatedly violate free speech rights. The Barron County District Attorney has announced charges will not be pursued against three officers following the death of a man in Rice Lake. Zachary Veitch was killed by officers on October 8th after approaching them with a knife in a way that indicated he intended to harm them. District Attorney Brian Wright published his report saying the officers acted reasonably and in self-defense. Veitch reportedly did not comply with the officer's commands to drop his knife and was unaffected by a taser. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
The Todd Almaz Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Lock as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Lock has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Craig Counsell says goodbye. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell made phone calls to his Brewers players last night, confirming the news he had accepted an offer to become the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. A 5-year deal with $40 million, making Counsell the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters when Counsell called him about the decision to join the Cubs, his reply was, quote, "Are you messing with me?" College hoops. Wisconsin men's basketball. The Badgers win 105-76 against Arkansas State. That's the highest scoring game for the Badgers since Greg Gard took over. NBA. The Bucks beat the Nets 129-125 in Brooklyn. A busy night for Giannis. 36 points, 12 rebounds. Who said it was good having Chris Middleton back on the floor?
He's getting more comfortable and more comfortable. We're going to need him to be aggressive. We're going to need him to be Chris. Tonight was just an example of his greatness.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clement.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast this afternoon with a high of 43. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers likely. Tonight, 37. Cloudy. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. There was a lot of it made, as always. Where to start? I'm going to tell you where I'm going to start. Today is Election Day. No, it's not Election Day in Wisconsin, but it's an Election Day in a lot of other states. And I'm going to highlight some of the elections, and we're going to talk about why it's an important little bellwether, an important little peek into the future on how the electorate is feeling. And what's liable to be happening a year from now in the general election in 2024. Start with the Virginia legislature. If you're watching the news tonight, pay attention to it. Pay careful attention to it. Right now, the Republicans have a majority in the Virginia legislature by a few seats. The Democrats have a majority in the state Senate in Virginia by a few seats. Governor Youngkin, Governor Munchkin, has the lean and hungry look. Jan Kasich hath the lean and hungry look. He wants to be a national figure. He is secretly hoping he can hide in the weeds, and if Trump implodes, something blows up in one of his criminal cases, there's still time for him to go to the Republican convention and get on the ticket this coming year. He is licking his chops. He's like a wolf licking his chops. And one of the things he has to show in the Republican Party, has to show, is that he can carry seats in Virginia, at least his own legislature. Remember, at one time, Virginia at one time was a ruby red state a long time ago. Heck, Virginia, Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy, for Pete's sake. But increasingly, as people who work in Washington, D.C. have settled in Northern Virginia, with more military personnel going in and out of the Norfolk area where I was posted myself. I was ordered to a ship out of Little Creek, Virginia, the amphibious base out of Little Creek, Virginia. Five bases in that area, Navy, just Navy. Forget Army, Marines, Air, Navy. Little Creek, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, the Newport Shipyard. There's a couple of others. Terrific, a lot of people there. So it's gotten a little more moderate, and we have elected some Democratic governors, and we took over the legislature. Well, now he took it back, at least in the assembly. Be very, very careful looking at it, especially look at Abigail Spanberger's district down near Richmond. Abigail Spanberger is a terrific Democratic member of Congress in a very, very tough seat, sort of a red seat. It had been a seat that had been held by the Republicans for a long time. Take a look at how assembly candidates and Senate candidates, state Senate, do in Abigail Spanberger's. If we hold our own seats, and especially if we flip the assembly back Democratic, things look good a year from now. If we don't, it's not the end of the world. Virginia is a state that you don't necessarily count on, but it's a little, you know, it's a canary in the coal mine. It's a canary in the coal mine. In New York, take a very, very good look at those seats. And why? Well, New York's a blue state. It's going to go blue. We know that. We know that. But look at assembly and state senate races. And actually, the assembly and state senate is not up this time in New York, but what is up are county supervisor and things like town boards and things of that nature. Look at county supervisor and town board races on Long Island in George Santos's district, Anthony Esposito's district, supervisor, there's a county executive race in Suffolk County. This is getting in the weeds, but it's very, very important. If Democrats start to win in Long Island, which is a very, very conservative area in that metro area, supervisor and county exec, bodes well a year from now. It also bodes well for kicking George Santos out and kicking Esposito out this coming November. When I was a kid, we moved to Mineola, Long Island briefly. I went to kindergarten, first and second grade there. Born in New York City, dad came back from the Marine Corps, got a scholarship to Fordham University. The Bronx. My mom worked for the phone company to put him through. I was born. And then some years later, we moved into Long Island for just a couple of years. And it's all a terrific area, but Long Island, you don't think of conservative areas, but Long Island is a conservative area by New York standards. George Santos is not going to get reelected. You know it and I know it. There's a guy named Swazi going to run against him. Swazi was the Democratic incumbent in that district. He decided he wanted to run for governor, so he left. Santos snuck in. Swazi lost to Kathy Hochul, governor of New York. Now he is back on the prowl, and that's toast for Santos. With Esposito's seat, if the supervisor and county exec races go the way they hope, he's vulnerable. Very, very important in terms of cutting down the Republican majority in the House. Then look north of New York City. Michael Lawler. Molinaro, Republicans, they shouldn't be Republicans. They used to be Democratic seats. If we hold county supervisor type, town board type things, county exec races there, looks good for us a year from now. The one I love, I swear I love this one, is Mississippi. Mississippi, now, people think of Mississippi and they go, oh, Mississippi, and it's number 50 in every measure on, you know, educational attainment and all that. I have a fondness for Mississippi, and I'll tell you why. I enjoy playing poker tournaments, World Series of Poker type tournaments, and they had a WSOP event down there in Tunica, Mississippi. My brother Paul and I went down, played some very, very good poker, enjoyed it very much. People were polite, terrific, everybody. I enjoyed it very much. Most people don't know that Tunica, Mississippi is a half-hour cab ride from Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee is right on the Mississippi border. And I'll tell you what, but next to Tunica, very close by, is another famous town called Tupelo. You may have heard of Tupelo. A man named Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley was born there in the early 30s, Tupelo, Mississippi. I played in some games with the fellas from Tupelo. Very, very fine guys. Well, Elvis Presley has a shirt tail cousin of some sort named Brandon Presley. And Brandon Presley is our Democratic nominee for governor of Mississippi. And he's on the ballot today. And unlike past elections where Republicans sweep, he is essentially tied with the incumbent, a guy named Tate Reeves. I love these names, Tate Reeves, that's his name. Tate Reeves is a problem. Is a corruption problem in the Republican Party down there. Very, very sad corruption issue. In 2019, the last gubernatorial race down there, the Democrat got 46.8% of the vote against Tate Reeves. Truth is that Mississippi has an odd law. If you get over 50%, you're golden. If you get under 50, there's a runoff. And in this case, we want to make sure that Brandon Presley either gets over 50 or so close to it that Tate Reeves doesn't get over 50, and we have another election between the two of them. I really have my hopes out. I would love to see a Democratic governor of Mississippi, and I would love to see Elvis Presley's cousin as governor of Mississippi as a Democrat. In Kentucky, Beshear, Andy Beshear, incumbent Democrat. I don't know how he does it. I'll tell you what, in 2020, Biden lost Kentucky by 26 points, 26 points. And yet, Andy Beshear won last time, and I think he's going to win again this time. Why is that? First of all, his father was governor, and the Beshear name is really well-regarded down there, and he is personally well-liked. And the guy he beat last time, and it was a real close race, was a real no-goodnik. Think of George Santos, Lauren Boebert, Ted Cruz, and Matt Gaetz rolled into one, and that would be the guy that Beshear beat, and he only beat him by a little bit. This guy was so nasty. You're not going to believe this. In revenge against the electorate for throwing him out, he pardoned not just corrupt donors to the Republican Party. He pardoned a home invader who brutalized sexually and murdered people in a home to rob them. He did not know the guy, had no relationship with the guy, but he unleashed a monster back into the state in retaliation. That's the kind of guy he was. A vengeful guy, very, very nasty, extremely nasty, vengeful guy. We have other races that are on the hook tomorrow. We have an abortion question on the ballot in Ohio. In Michigan, we have some races that will determine whether we keep the majority. In Rhode Island, there's an interesting race. Rhode Island is a blue state. I went to high school in Rhode Island. It's a blue state. Blue state. But, remember this fellow Cicilline stepped down, special election. There's a Democrat running to succeed him in Congress. He's definitely going to make it. You could bet the farm on it. The question is, what is the margin over the Republican? How enthusiastic are the Democrats? Keep these things in mind. This is very, very important. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Right now, Democrats have a 5-2 majority. Here in Wisconsin, it's 4-3, but we have 5-2 in Pennsylvania. There's an open seat, Democrats running, Republicans running. If the Democrat wins, we keep the 5-2 majority. If the Democrat loses, we have a 4-3 majority. So why am I even bringing that up? Well, the truth is, Pennsylvania has some Trump supporters. Biden won there. He's going to win again. But you need a Supreme Court that enforces the law, and a Republican Supreme Court frequently does not enforce the law. So 5-2 makes me more comfortable than 4-3. But more importantly, what does it show about enthusiasm in the state of Pennsylvania? Enthusiasm in the state of Pennsylvania. Some of these races that I just described, we're talking enthusiasm. Turnout. The other ones we're talking about, do we flip? Terrific night. Ordering a pizza, sit there and watch the races all around the country. It's very, very important. Coming up next, a peek at Trump and his lawyers in New York and some things that you will not believe. All coming up next.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own?
It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to four. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in. Well, welcome back to Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get weirder and cheaper on Trump's part and his lawyers in the fraud case in New York against him. It's a $250 million case, and as I've listened to some of the evidence, he may actually get nailed for more than that. Much more importantly, he also could be barred from doing business in New York. And he also could have his certificates yanked for some of his present properties. He could have a receiver appointed. The receiver could sell some properties without his consent or participation to pay off judgments against him. His back is against the wall. And you know what his main defense is, if I can boil it down, because I've listened to all this baloney, to boil it down, it's basically, okay, I'm a shyster and a fraud, but everybody in commercial real estate is a shyster and a fraud. The banks know that, and they take that into account. That is not a strong defense. So here are a couple of updates, and they even surprised me. You know that when he was on the stand, he just kept shouting at the judge how unfair it was. This one is a hack, is a racist. That one is biased, right to the judge in his face, got in the judge's face. The judge finally said, look, this is not a campaign rally. Don't give political speeches, answer the question. And all Trump did was give a campaign speech to the point where the judge finally said, if you don't start answering the questions, I'm going to take you off the stand, tell you to step down, because you obviously, it's similar to taking the fifth. You don't take the fifth, but you just start talking about unrelated things. And at some point, the judge yanks you off. And what Trump may not have understood was that he can draw the same inference from that, that Trump is not answering questions because the answers would be bad for him and the judge will fill in the bad answers, just like taking the fifth in a civil trial. But a couple of things surprised me, and here are the updates. First of all, this Alina Haba is a real piece of work, this lawyer. She's not a very good lawyer, not a great lawyer. And all she's doing is mimicking Trump to get in his good graces. And she has attacked in kind of obliquely the judge and the clerk, although the judge extended the gag order on the clerk to all of Trump's lawyers as well as Trump on Friday at the end of the day. But here's what Elena Hobbs just said, quote, Letitia James is just not that bright. That's what she said. Well, let me tell you something. First of all, you don't say that about a judge or a lawyer or a court staff. You just don't say something like that. Secondly, Letitia James is very smart. That's my assessment after listening to her speak and looking at her legal strategy. But more importantly, Letitia James beat Elena Hobbs on a summary judgment motion and got summary judgment entered for the plaintiff. You know how hard that is? I've been involved in many dozens of summary judgment motions, both on both sides of the issues, over almost 40 years. Usually they're brought by the defendant. The defendant says, judge, assume that everything the other side says is right. Here's some affidavits and some evidence. They can't refute them. No reasonable jury could conclude otherwise. Dismiss this case. That's what 90% of them are. But in 10%, 5% of them, the plaintiff goes, I want a lot of money from these people and there's no way they can defend it. And here's the evidence. And the judge says, I'm with you. That's very rare. The defense can get up and say, look, I want my day in court, to a jury or the judge. Very, very difficult to get summary judgment as a plaintiff. And she did. So when a lawyer like Elena Hobbs says Letitia James is not too bright, and Letitia James not only beat her, but beat her in a very, very rare summary judgment motion. It's like saying, you know, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or Brett Favre weren't really good quarterbacks. Yeah, they burned me on an 80-yard pass and I lost the game, but they're not very good. People go, oh, okay, what a lame excuse is what they go. Okay, what a lame excuse. Next, take a look at Trump's lawyers, Elena Hobbs, or Habba rather. Sidney Powell, are you kidding me? Giuliani. I mean, some of the other lawyers have ended up with criminal charges against them. Some have ended up with convictions. Chesbro ended up with a conviction. For Trump's lawyers to attack successful lawyers against them, it's cheap. It doesn't have any resonance at all. It's not going to please the judge, believe me. They also announced two things. The state, Letitia James, announced, you know, Ivanka is going to go on the stand, I think, tomorrow. And when she's done, the attorney general, the plaintiff's going to rest. That means it's term of art. It means, Your Honor, I rest my case. I'm not putting nothing else in. At this stage, nothing else in. If the other side goes on with evidence, I'm going to cross-examine them, and then I may want rebuttal evidence, but if nothing else happens, that's it. Well, normally what happens then, and I've done it in that position too, is the defense goes, I moved to dismiss, there was not enough evidence. That's very, very common. This clown, Elena Hobbs, or Habba, goes, we're going to move to dismiss, okay, as a mistrial. That's a separate deal. A mistrial. That means there was something improper that occurred, perhaps unethical, perhaps a simple mistake that invalidates the whole thing, and you got to throw it all out and start again. Let's hold the phone here for a second. What's the mistrial? The mistrial was that the judge and his clerk, and clerk, what's with the clerk? I was a clerk. The clerk was biased. First of all, the clerk wasn't biased. Secondly, who cares if the clerk was biased? Clerk doesn't get to decide anything. She has no discretion whatsoever. But then they go, Judge Erdogan committed error, and we need a new trial because he didn't let Trump talk indefinitely. Now, wait a minute. Let's hold the phone on that. Erdogan said to him, the judge goes, answer the question. We don't want a political speech. Trump would talk for 10 minutes, shouting at him, shouting at everybody. There's a lot. Listen, if this were a case I was involved in and I did that, the judge would have entered judgment against me and put me in the holding cell for a couple of days. He doesn't want to put Trump in the holding cell because Trump has Secret Service protection and it's a big deal, blah, blah, blah. The guy's getting handled with kid gloves. I don't like the fact that he's getting handled with kid gloves, but he is. So they are going to move for a mistrial, not just a motion to dismiss. The judge is going to deny it. This is after Ivanka Trump testifies, probably starting tomorrow. Now, what is Ivanka Trump even going to talk about? She wasn't deposed. There's no deposition taken of her. Good lawyers, Letitia James is a good lawyer. They don't like to ask questions that they don't know the answer to. But they're going to talk to her. Apparently, they want to nail some things down at Deutsche Bank, where she was the one that was the principal on the loan, negotiating the loan. Okay, let's see what else is going on. We're going to have time, temperature, ID, and news coming up. Let's see what else is going on. Stops my mind from wandering where it will go. Where it will go.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Donald Trump leads President Biden in a new poll from the New York Times and Siena College. That survey has Trump leading in key battleground states like Wisconsin, as well as Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That's despite facing dozens of criminal charges in four different cases. The survey polled about 600 registered voters in each of the six states. The presidential election is 1 year away. Postal workers in Milwaukee are demanding safer working conditions. The National Association of Letter Carriers rallied at Milwaukee's downtown post office Sunday. Eight people were arrested not long ago in a mail carrier robbery ring in the city. Another letter carrier was murdered on his route. Postal workers say they want the post office to work with the union to find solutions. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman has announced a $32 million proposal to strengthen workforce development in the universities. The proposal would target key workforce divisions like engineering, nursing, and data science. The Board of Regents could approve the plan on Thursday before it advances to the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee and would annually allot $2.5 million each to UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee and $1 million to the other schools. The Wisconsin State Senate is scheduled to vote on amendments to the state constitution today. The changes include barring officials from closing places of worship during states of emergencies and requiring photo ID for voters. The constitution changes, proposed by Republican lawmakers, are an attempt to bypass the veto power of Democratic Governor Tony Evers. To approve the constitutional amendments, they must pass in two legislative sessions before a statewide vote. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Craig Council says goodbye. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Council made phone calls to his Brewers players last night, confirming the news he had accepted an offer to become the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. A five-year deal with $40 million, making Council the highest-paid manager in Major League Baseball. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters when Council called him about the decision to join the Cubs, his reply was, quote, "Are you messing with me?" College hoops. Wisconsin men's basketball. The Badgers win 105-76 against Arkansas State. That's the highest scoring game for the Badgers since Greg Gard took over. NBA. The Bucks beat the Nets 129-125 in Brooklyn. A busy night for Giannis. 36 points, 12 rebounds. Who said it was good having Chris Middleton back on the floor?
He's getting more comfortable, more comfortable. We're going to need him to be aggressive. We're going to need him to be Chris. And tonight was just an example of his greatness.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast this afternoon with a high of 43. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight, 37. Cloudy. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Who
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was a very sad event that occurred just outside of L.A. in Ventura County, Thousand Oaks. Very sad. You may have seen some of it on TV. There was a demonstration. It was not a large demonstration, apparently, maybe 75 people. But people on one side demonstrating for Palestinians, on the other side for Israel. And a 69-year-old man named Paul Kessler, Jewish man holding an Israeli flag, was killed or died. And the medical examiner said it was a homicide, and it is being investigated as a hate crime. When the medical examiner was asked, what do you mean by homicide? He said, well, we don't determine if it was a crime. All we can tell you that the death was caused or participated in by another individual. It's the DA that's going to decide on whether or not it's a homicide in terms of criminal exposure, send somebody to jail, and whether it's a hate crime. Here are the facts. I watched the news conference by the medical examiner and by the sheriff. Mr. Kessler was walking along holding an Israeli flag. Somebody on the other side came up to him. They haven't identified who it is, but he's a 50-year-old man. Mr. Kessler is 69. And Mr. Kessler was knocked down, hit his head, and had a brain bleed and died. The medical examiner said that there were wounds to his face, the side of his face, that were not fatal, indicating that he'd been struck, and that when he was struck, it knocked him down and he hit his head. There was a case like this in New York quite recently, not in the context of the Israel-Palestine thing, where a woman shoved another older woman, she went down, hit her head, and that woman has been sentenced to a number of years in jail that did it. There were witnesses that said that somebody came up and hit Mr. Kessler in the face with a megaphone. He went down, hit his head, had a brain bleed, and died. Now, I think this kind of thing, I've had enough of this. It's got to stop. Violence against Jews, not only on college campuses, but in these demonstrations, has gotten much worse. In past fights between Palestinians and Israelis, there are people that have gone into restaurants and beaten up Jewish diners, especially if they're eating at an outdoor terrace of the restaurant. Punch them as they walk down the street. There are no known instances of anybody on the Jewish side who is doing that to somebody on the other side. In the colleges, there are banners put up that says Israel genocide. There might be a swastika. There are never, ever banners put up that I've seen on any college campus that is using that level of threat and invective against the other side. Now, what do we do about this? In Los Angeles or Ventura County, depends on where they're going to try this thing, they executed a search warrant against this guy's house, the suspect. They have not named the suspect. And they have questioned him, and they're going to turn it all over to the DA. If he hit somebody in the face with a megaphone or his fist, let me tell you another wrinkle in the law in Wisconsin. If you hit a senior citizen, that's anybody, I think, over 60 years old, the statute, the exact age doesn't come to mind, but if you hit an older person and punch them, even if you're in some sort of fight with them, you've committed a felony. The reason is older people are vulnerable. They're not as strong. Their reflexes aren't the same. In in Wisconsin at a protest if you go up and even hit somebody who's older, that will be criminally prosecuted. If they get knocked to the ground and have a subdural hematoma or some other kind of brain bleed and they die, that is a felony with a substantial jail term. Now, what do we do about this? Right now, 60% of hate crimes in this country that are based on religion are directed against Jews. There's a great deal of talk, and we do not want discrimination against any faith. We want no religious discrimination. But what is happening in this country is that when people say, well, we have to stop anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, that's true, we do. But it makes it sound as if they're equally oppressed. And that is not true. That is not true. Because Jewish students generally report feeling unsafe on college campuses, physically unsafe. That is not true of anybody else, any other religion on campuses. The fact is that given these historical hatreds against Jews, especially now in the Middle East, but also in Europe, in France, for instance, the Jewish population feels itself under attack after Angela Merkel invited 1 million Islamic refugees in without clearing it with Britain or France, knowing that they would go to those countries. So I'll tell you what, it is my hope and expectation that the DA involved in reviewing these charges out in California brings criminal charges and hate crime charges against the individual who hit Mr. Kessler and knocked him to the ground. And there can be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Enough is enough. This kind of conduct has got to be prosecuted. And there has to be very, very, extreme is the wrong word, very, very firm conduct on the part of prosecutors, mayors, local representatives, everybody saying we are not going to permit attacks against Jewish people anymore, and we're not going to permit people ganging up on them in college. And one of the things look, it goes beyond this. In Philadelphia, there is now a boycott of Jewish businesses. This has been instigated by people because of this Palestinian-Israeli war in the Middle East. They're singling out Jewish businesses. The Nazis did that in the 1930s. When Adolf Hitler was made the chancellor, he came into power in 1932. Shortly thereafter, Jews were prohibited from working in the government or in education. They couldn't be principals. They couldn't be teachers. They couldn't be anything. In Kristallnacht, in the late 30s, people went down the street and broke the glasses, the windows of Jewish businesses. Enough's enough. This is America. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're not putting up with this. We're not putting up with this. We've got to reassess our immigration laws, our immigration strategy, admitting people who frankly have hate in their hearts and are violent, and we can't do this anymore. So there's nothing we can do, unfortunately, for Mr. Kessler. Seemed like a fine man. I don't know much about him. He's 69 years old. And he's carrying a flag. He's not doing anything. He's carrying a flag. And for that, he pays for it with his life. That can never, ever happen again in this country. Switching from L.A. to Florida, there are increasing calls for Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the judge in the confidential document case, who's on Trump's side, appointed by Trump, to step down, to recuse herself. I want to hit that hard right now. The truth of the matter is that she's never going to recuse herself because she is essentially representing Trump in the courtroom, even though she's the judge. Let me give you an example of some conduct that's attributable to her. She chewed out the prosecutors. Let me tell you something about that. When a judge chews out the prosecutors, even if there's no jury present, word gets around. It gets around social media. It's designed to taint the jury pool. In the Kyle Rittenhouse case, do you remember that case? Kid with the gun who shot and killed people down in Kenosha. The judge reamed out the prosecutors for no good reason. The jury hears about that. They're told not to watch TV. Their relatives watch TV and they tell them. The judge thinks there's something wrong with the prosecution. That's a tip off and it's wrong. And why did she yell? Why did she yell at the prosecutors down in Mar-a-Lago? For a couple of reasons. Number one, Jack Smith correctly said, we're very uneasy in the Walter Nauta part of the case. Remember, that's the, they call him the bodyguard. They call him the body man, former chief petty officer in the Navy from Guam. I got a nice guy and he's going to take a dive for Trump. It's just wrong. Anyway, Jack Smith goes, hey, wait a minute. Trump's paying for his lawyers. Trump's controlling him. That's why he hasn't flipped on Trump. Tell him that his lawyer is a conflict of interest. I would say the same thing. That is absolutely the right motion and thing to say. And she chews him out over that. There's no legal commentator who looked at that who thought that she was anywhere in the ballpark of doing the right thing. Number two, these confidential documents are going to come into evidence in both the Tanya Chutkan case in Washington, D.C. and in Mar-a-Lago. The process there is you don't show juries confidential documents about our submarines and our undercover agents. You show them a synopsis without the defining data, and you show that to the opposing counsel. That's it. Tanya Chutkan followed the law. Eileen Mercedes Cannon goes, no, you got to show the exact documents in there, compromising the security of the United States. She's doing that to put pressure on the prosecution because the prosecution will then appeal that up to the 11th Circuit. She'll be overturned, but they'll have chewed up a month or two and she can kick the trial beyond November. You see what's happening here? The other thing is the trial set for May. She has now said to set up what she's going to do. Boy, that's kind of soon. Maybe we should kick that till after the election. That's what Trump wants. And this is one of the lay down cases against him. He took those documents when he's not president and he left them lying around in bathrooms, in dressing rooms, and towel closets in a resort that has thousands of guests, hundreds of people working there, and the door is unlocked. And there are foreign agents all through there. They know the guy leaks like a sieve. They know that he's in Russia's back pocket. And we then, the following year, had undercover agents executed in some of these countries. And she is playing footsie with Trump. Now, I've got to tell you, as a matter of inside baseball, I fault Merrick Garland a lot and Jack Smith a little on these grounds. Merrick Garland took a long time appointing Jack Smith and letting this thing start because he was afraid of the appearance of it. This should have been going on a year ago, not now. And the second thing is Jack Smith, I love Jack Smith. What are you doing, Jack Smith, filing in South Florida? Are you out of your mind? It's going to go to Eileen Mercedes Cannon. It's going to go to Eileen Mercedes Cannon. And she will find a way to cook it for Trump. And he did that. He had venue in Washington. He could have filed it with Tanya Chutkan type judge. But he wanted to look like a stand-up guy. Give me a break, for God's sake, Smith. You're a very, very competent guy, for God's sake. Well, let's see what's coming up. There's a lot coming up. There's got a lot having to do with Mike Johnson, a lot having to do with finances in the federal government. There's a lot of news that's been made and being made as we speak. Let's stand by to see what's coming up. Girl, it's a better life for me and you.
Believe me, baby. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula?
This is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private school system, which is what is happening.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
If they vote not to confirm you, that means essentially you're fired. And they just did it yesterday to 8 Evers appointees. And one of the people that was fired yesterday was Melissa Baldoff.
There's just really not a bottom for them yet. Years ago, I thought, well, it couldn't get worse than this. They found a way to let the bar sink a little bit lower.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
To learn more about the Civic Media Network,
this is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, probably a sign of the times. As we came on the air, there was a report of a man with a gun who was arrested outside of the U.S. Senate buildings. No one was hurt. Pedestrians were kept away. The Capitol Police handled it very, very well. But, you know, when people start to think that they have the right to go to our Capitol with a gun and threaten people, this is a sorry state of affairs. Very, very sorry state of affairs. I'll tell you, and by the way, they said that there is no threat to anybody at the Capitol, but be that as it may, there's one little glimmer of, I think, hope. I like this with regard to Ukraine. The European Union has voted to proceed on Ukraine membership in the EU. Now, you may think, okay, so what? Well, I'll tell you why, so what. EU is not NATO, but there's a significant overlap between the two. And when you give somebody status as a member of the European Union, first of all, what it means is that they have full right, anybody in Ukraine, to travel and work anywhere in Europe, anywhere in Europe. They can go to Ireland, they can go to Poland, they can go to Germany, and vice versa. They're accepted to the club, so to speak. And the second thing is there's going to be financial support for Ukraine, and there are expectations of Ukraine. And they're doing this while this genocidal, sadistic Putin invasion of the Russians is going on. Shows a lot of courage. So the committee that vets this has now recommended it to the whole EU. It has to be unanimous. They expect it will be unanimous. And then they will proceed with admission. Now, before you get your hopes up, before I get my hopes up, take Croatia, the last country to be admitted. It was admitted in 2013 after a 10-year prep session, so to speak. It was more than a prep session. It was 10 years of vetting and all of that. Now, there are a number of hoops they have to jump through, a number of hoops that Ukraine has to jump through. They have to jump through and satisfy the whole EU that they've gotten rid of their system of oligarchs. Now, let's hold the phone on that one. We're familiar with Russian oligarchs, but in Ukraine, there are some people that have amassed very, very massive wealth, and there has to be a way, before you're going to get into the EU, to make sure that your economy isn't structured to the point where that kind of thing occurs. Secondly, there has to be protection of minorities. I don't think there are a ton of minorities in Ukraine. And by minorities is not what we talk about minorities, but indigenous people, that kind of thing. But, you know, you'll have some people in Ukraine that have come from Africa to study in universities. You have some people in Ukraine that will come from other part of the former Soviet Union, like Chechnya, who are Muslims, and they have to be fully protected. The third thing is they have to put in sufficient anti-corruption measures in their legal system, and also measures about how lobbying occurs with the government. Now, all of these, something like four of these have already been accomplished to the satisfaction of the EU. There are other ones that have to be satisfied to their satisfaction. Judicial integrity, media independence, and procedures against money laundering. And those are on track. One little known fact, there are people in, there are European countries that are not in the EU. Great Britain got out of the EU. Believe it or not, Switzerland is not in the EU. Switzerland does not want any transparency in its banking system. You know, you talk about money laundering. The truth of the matter is that in Switzerland, people have accounts and all that, and they don't want any scrutiny of it all. So this isn't all kind of seashells and balloons. But to get Ukraine in would be a great thing. Moldova is trying to get in. Georgia, not Atlanta, Georgia, Georgia, is trying to get in. The more we can bring countries into the EU, never mind NATO, because that's a more difficult thing, you're going to make it much more difficult for Russia or anyone else to attack them. Because you start to attack an EU country, whether or not they're protected by NATO, nevertheless, that's a much bigger lift than what Russia is doing right now. And speaking of that, Russia and its invasion of Ukraine has been forced off the front pages almost exclusively because of the vicious genocidal attack by Hamas on innocent Israeli civilians and Israel's response. But at the same time, the fight is going on. And we're going to talk later in other segments about the funding for Ukraine and what they're linking it to. But one thing that Biden can do right now, and he's been magnificent in it, he has gotten them planes, but he's especially gotten them these long-range, we used to call them HIMARS, but they're something like ATACMSs. He's engineered them down. He's had the Defense Department engineer them down so they can only go 100 miles. They could go 180 miles. I would strongly urge him to let the Ukrainians have the long-range 180-mile missiles. Let them sit back farther in western Ukraine, lob them into Crimea, lob them into the Black Sea, and destroy the Russian fleet. They're already doing a superb job doing that. A superb job, they really are. But also other kind of ordnance, but especially planes, especially the F-16s. And what he has done is he's freed up other countries that have excess F-16s to send them to Ukraine, and some have sent them already under our promise that we're going to resupply our other NATO allies. But I do not want to lose sight of the fact, and I don't want anybody listening to this to lose sight of the fact, that what's going on in Ukraine is a genocide. It's sadistic. There is no reason for it. And as long as you have a country of 45 million people fighting a country of 145 million people, as long as you have that going on, and Ukraine is not permitted to bomb Russian apartment buildings in Moscow, but they're permitted to bomb apartment buildings in Ukraine, they have one hand tied behind their back. So let's see what's coming up. There's going to be time, ID, weather, temperature, and news, and a lot of it coming up right now. All the time. I keep the
ends out for the tide. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.